Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of The Vegas Therapist. I am your host, Ryan Winder. And remember, what's happening in Vegas is not staying in Vegas, as I bring you helpful tips in all sorts of topic areas with a Vegas twist, of course. So let's get the show started. Welcome, welcome everybody. It's good to have you back in for another episode of The Vegas Therapist. I'm your host, Ryan Winder. I've got a great show and topic for you today. But before we get to that, I just want to do some housekeeping stuff. Wanted to thank David Frey again for coming in and talking about how to be a better husband with ownership and accountability to operating in that manner to get the best out of our relationships. Lots of great feedback on that episode. So if you haven't listened to that one, please do so. It's a great one. Share it with your husband, if you're a spouse, share it with the men in your life, brothers, uncles, whoever. A lot of great content in that episode worth delving into. So hope everybody's having a great summer. Lots going on here. Busy with work, busy with just life and family. So lots of good things and hoping for just a good summer. So also, if you're new to the show, please rate and review the show on Apple iTunes. It would be great. Just the more ratings, more views, the more the show gets pushed up and pushed out, which would just feel like an honor. So, and plus it's going to help people. Lots of good topics on the show that we've done in the past that have been beneficial to people in their mental health journey and in helping them through some difficult challenges. So it's a great thing. And again, there's the Facebook group page as well. And if you want to get in contact with me personally, ryanwinder@gmail.com is how you can get a hold of me. If you're interested in coaching or therapy of any sorts, I'd be happy to try to get you with you and to help you in your own personal journey. Also too, I put this out there from time to time, but I am interested in doing more speaking events. So if you know of an event that I would be a good fit for, please reach out to me and we can see if we can make that work. In fact, when it comes to getting a hold of me, part of the episode today is about a listener request. And she had asked a while back about doing an episode on triggers and kind of like what to do in relation to our triggers and what triggers mean per se, I guess, or how do we interpret them as far as things go. So, you know, we've done a lot about trauma in the past on the show. So I wanted to kind of get specifically into this topic of triggers, but I'm going to do this in two parts because I think this is an important aspect as far as things go. So today's episode is going to be on triggers and kind of like what to be mindful of when it comes to triggers. And then the next episode is going to be a piggyback episode off of this. So it's kind of a two-part thing where I'm going to talk more about defense mechanisms and in particular kind of from the book Anxiety RX, which Russell Kennedy put out, which is a great book. If you can get past the fact that he talks openly about his LSD trip that he went on or he was on that helped him discover this treatment that he uses for anxiety. If that doesn't throw you off too much, then it is a great book. And he talks about ego defense mechanisms as a way of how they protect us from our previous hurt, traumas, etc. So I want to kind of piggyback these two because I think it's important that we understand more about triggers and kind of what they're trying to tell us, as well as like to be more alert and aware of the various ego defense mechanisms that we may incorporate to protect ourselves as a result of the hurt and the trauma that we have experienced. So so with that said, let's get into the whole topic of triggers. And first off, you know, I think we all have something that comes to mind when we hear the word trigger, whether that's a definition of it or an actual trigger that we maybe have experienced ourselves at some point in our life. But just to kind of quickly define the word, a trigger is a person, place, thing, or situation that ultimately elicits an intense and unexpected emotional response. And obviously the unexpected part is that we don't always know something is going to trigger us. Sometimes we will eventually recognize that, oh, we have certain triggers or certain things will trigger us. Like people that are dealing with infidelity, obviously if they see something in the realm of like an affair on a TV show or movie or whatever, that's like a pretty common trigger that they'll have that kind of puts them back in that place of their trauma and their hurt and their pain. So some triggers can be pretty identifiable. We'll get more into that later. But one thing that's important to understand and to clarify is that being triggered is different than simply feeling an emotion, because being triggered really involves us being thrust or driven back into the past. It's like a portal into the past where in some sense we're reliving the experience that we had at the time of the trauma or the time of the hurt, the time of the pain. And so definitely a little bit different than just simply feeling an emotion, which again, I want to kind of try to expound on a little bit too, but want to really make that clear that being triggered is basically being put back and kind of into this reliving aspect of the pain that we've experienced in the past. So without going down a rabbit hole too far, I just want to mention something that I think is problematic in our society when it comes to the use of the word trigger. And you may know where I'm going with this, because I think sometimes the word does get overused, sometimes in a playful way, but sometimes in a way of just sort of like almost like a halt, stop sign, like you can't go past this. And if you've been listening to the show, and if you haven't listened to this episode, please do so. It's a great episode. I had Mary Catherine McDonald on the podcast. She's the author of the book Unbroken. Subtitle, The Trauma Response is Never Wrong. Great guest, great topic, great book. Anyway, she addresses in her book the misconception of what it actually means to be triggered. And that is, or the misconception that what it means to be triggered that's happening in our society. And basically she says that the word has really become a catch-all for any occasion in which we may have an emotion that is remotely unpleasant or unwanted. So just let me say that again. So the word trigger has become a catch-all for any occasion in which we have an emotion that is remotely unpleasant or unwanted. Even to the point where she says, like, I mean, we can say if we don't get something we want in our relationship, we can say that we're triggered. And that's definitely not what the word is intended for or what it's supposed to mean, but it's really become this thing that people use all the time for just some kind of emotion that they don't like or that's uncomfortable to them. But it's not necessarily in relation to a trauma or something specific of that nature. And she goes on to say that part of the reason that this misconception is so dangerous is that it has led us to misunderstand then what we should do when a trigger actually happens. So in a sense, we've learned or mislearned to block and avoid instead of adapt and heal. So let me say that again too. We have learned or mislearned to block and avoid instead of adapt or heal. And that's a huge shift that we have to go away from. Because if you think about it, think about all the ways that people block or avoid in their lives, whether it's drugs, alcohol, sex, dissociation, denial, whatever it may be. And the thing about blocking and avoiding, it's like, it kind of takes me to Stephen Hayes' book, Liberated Mind. He says the punchline is that if the purpose of any coping strategy is to avoid feeling a challenging emotion or thinking an upsetting thought, to wipe out a painful memory or look away from a difficult sensation, the long-term outcome will almost always be poor. And that's, you know, again, that's a problem. If we just kind of are in this place of where we say, hey, you know, if we just utter the word, I'm triggered, hands go up, surrender happens, conversation shuts down, and we're just like, now we're blocking, we're avoiding, we're not doing anything about it. That's a problem. That's something that's going to lead to more difficulties. But the other thing about that too, the surrender and shutdown, that's a sign of collapse, not a sign of, you know, health and integration or wanting to work through something. And I really think that that's one of the biggest challenges in this kind of societal kind of aspect of things is that, you know, if you think about it, you've probably been in situations where if somebody kind of says, hey, I'm triggered, I mean, I don't want to obviously not put everybody in the same category, because I think when some people say I'm triggered, they really are triggered, and they're in that space where they're being thrust back into the past. They're reliving that moment that their pain or trauma occurred. But a lot of times people are using that as a, I think, is a more greater way to kind of like a sense of stonewalling, that they're able to like reinforce this ability to stonewall and just shut somebody out, push somebody away, shut down. In fact, I was working with a couple recently, and that was one of the biggest challenges that was happening in the relationship, was that anytime there was an uncomfortable subject that was happening, it was like this immediate, hey, you know, what's like, oh, can't talk, gotta have space, gotta move away from this, gotta whatever. And, you know, and then that was just it. There was no movement towards anything else. There was no like, hey, let's revert, let's do whatever. And that was where it was. And so the notion of that aspect of things in this, especially in this relationship where the husband was just kind of saying, hey, I'm triggered, or I'm overwhelmed, or I can't do this right now, I need space. Okay. Initially that's okay, because there are going to be times when maybe that's what you need, but to consistently use it as a block method, as a way of shutting down the conversation, as a way of pushing the other person away, that's just not okay. And I think that that's more and more what's happening. People aren't trying to work through something. They just want the space to not feel. They want the space to be in where they want to be, which is not maybe confronting something, not dealing with something. And I think kind of like what Mary Catherine is saying, is that that's very problematic for our society and for our way of operating and being able to connect and be more relational within ourselves, within our partners, within our society, communities, whatever it may be. And so she goes on to say, if we mistake reliving for remembering and remembering for reliving, and any feeling as triggering and triggering as a cue to collapse, we misunderstand the very core of traumatic experience and we fail to heal. Because again, this notion of collapsing, yes, trauma and triggering can be overwhelming, but we need to find a way to move through things, to process it, and to work through that trauma, not just block and avoid. So McDonald, or MC as she likes to be called, at least that's what, you know, on the podcast, I refer to her as, also talks about in her book, this notion of the trigger trap and kind of these three different things that it's important to kind of keep in mind as in regards to triggers and in thinking about our triggers. And the first thing is that there's a misconception that we're always conscious of our triggers. And to me, kind of in the Dwight Schrute kind of factoid, is that is false. There's a falseness. I mean, we're not always conscious of our triggers. That is false. And triggers are really about survival. We have to remember that. And so sometimes they do slip past our awareness. Often we feel bad for no reason that we cannot seem to even explain, right? Like it's like this sense of like, hey, I don't know what's going on. I just feel this weirdness and, you know, I can't really pinpoint it or make the connection. In fact, just to be a little open and honest with you right now, recently, and I'd want to kind of do like a post on this in my Facebook page for the podcast, but I decided I'd incorporate it into this episode. Most recently for me, obviously it was Father's Day a few weeks ago, and I had no complaints about Father's Day. My wife made me crepes in the morning and got to cook a big steak for dinner. So all in all, it's a great day. Pretty just casual, not a lot of events, but it was great. You know, me personally, love being a dad, kids are great, wife's great. So no issues with Father's Day, but yet I was off that day. I was, you know, there was a couple things that were going on and I was kind of had this like weird outward aggression going on. Kind of wanting to like lash out at people for some reason. And it was just kind of like, it's kind of weird vibe. And I just wasn't really, again, being aware of it, kind of like this whole unconscious triggering kind of thing, not thinking much of it. And it really wasn't until the next day, and I was in the gym and I was listening to a podcast, and something kind of came across the podcast, and I was like, what the heck? I was like, I think yesterday I was in a funk because of Father's Day, not because anything wrong in my own life, but just, you know, if you've listened to the podcast, you know that I have a dad that's an addict. I don't really have much of a relationship with him, just through the different experiences in my life and just dealing with him. Just, it's better to not have that relationship because he's in active addiction still. And so I don't know, I think maybe just there was a part of me that was just like still bothered by that. And it was just thinking about some recent things that my brothers had experienced with him. And I just think all that was kind of like churning in me. And it was, you know, this sense of like wishing that was different, or wishing that was not the way that it was, and thinking about it from the perspective of Father's Day and what that might be like to want to pick up the phone and call your dad and tell him hi and tell him thank you and tell him all these different things. And that just wasn't, that's just not where I'm at with that. And so it's sad. And I think that was a trigger, something I was experiencing. Not that it was like sending me back into the past as something specific, but it just was putting me in that place where, you know, I was feeling stuff and I didn't really kind of know why. And it was coming out in a negative way, more towards, I guess, in some sense, other people. But it really took me till the next day to kind of piece that together. So again, we're not always going to be conscious of our triggers, which, one last thing, if you haven't ever listened to the episode with my brothers and the podcast that we did, it is a great one. I've listened to it a few times more recently because I've been having people go and listen to it. So I listened to it again with my wife, and we got a good kind of laugh and cry and whatever out of it, but it is a great episode. So check that one out. It's with my brothers. It's Having an Addicted Parent, I think, is the title. All right. So digress a little bit. Now, second thing, triggers are to be avoided at all cost. So that's another thing that is a problem with the way that we think about triggers. So triggers are not supposed to be avoided. They do not exist to remind us of what we should avoid. That's a big thing. Triggers exist so that we do not forget. Let me just keep going on. Triggers are signs that there are things that we have not yet processed, and signs that there are work, that there is work to be done. So I think in relationship to the person that reached out and wanted me to do an episode on triggers, I think that's really her answer right there, is just that, you know, triggers ultimately, you know, if you're experiencing triggers and you're struggling with something, it's not so much like, okay, now what do I do, or what does that mean? Well, I mean, it means that you've got some work to do somewhere, that there's still something within you that's being bothered, that's being touched on, that hasn't been integrated. I'm going to talk about integration just a little bit, but like that just, there's just something that's still unsettled. And that's why that trigger is having such an impact on you. So ultimately the suggestion is that you got some work to do. Go, you know, meet with somebody, talk to them, try to find out what the thing is that's maybe still causing you pain. And there's obviously, you know, in therapy, there's ways to do that, to try to understand that, whether it's EMDR, whether it's just kind of like sorting through some of the stuff and making some of the connections that can be there. Okay. So back to Mary Catherine, her book, and the three things that she talks about with triggers that we need to not fall into. So the third one is that not having the thought that not feeling anything is a realistic goal. Again, that is false. You know, we shouldn't have that as a goal, that we're just not going to feel anything. And when we don't feel anything, that we're quote unquote better. Really, the goal is integration. And if you want to understand what it means for integration, or what that would look like, she maps that out in her book. And she basically says it like this. Integration occurs or looks like the following. You can narrate the event or the trauma. So you can be able to talk about it and talk through it and share the story. You can feel some of the emotions that are tied to it, assign the event meaning, and then put the memory down when you want to. So you feel more of a sense of, like, I guess, control, or are in charge of the memory. It's not controlling you. So if I want to talk about it and work through it, I can. And when I'm done, I can just sort of set it down and walk away, and I'm okay. And if you think about being triggered and experiencing a traumatic event, that's not always the case. You know, once it kind of hits us, we can't always just readily put it down. So there's different aspects to integration, being able to narrate it, feel the emotions, some of the emotions tied to it, assign it meaning, and then be able to kind of, okay, I'm good, and set it down and move on. I kind of see that. I mean, I definitely see that a lot with my clients as we work together, that improvement happens, and it's just a process. And again, there's no like, hey, I'm never going to feel anything with that. I mean, I think back to, again, something that I've talked about before, people that know me have gone through, when my youngest brother got shot, very traumatic event. But it's something that I can talk about, you know, talk about the event, narrate through it, feel some of the emotions that are tied to that, you know and understand the meaning that's associated with that, but then put it down. You know, it was interesting. I was at the dentist today, and the hygienist, I don't know, he mistook me for a duck hunter or maybe a hunter. I don't know, that bad mistake. But he said something about duck hunting. He likes duck hunting. And he asked me if I hunted, and I said no. He said, how come? I said, well, my brother got shot when I was younger, and so I don't really hunt, or, you know, I've never been a big hunter since that happened. He kind of looked at me like, kind of like looking at me with this big reaction. I was like, it's okay, he's alive. But anyway, so that like the ability to kind of talk about that, it just doesn't have the same, you know, pull as it once did. You know, cause again, it's something that I've worked through and gotten resolved for. So that's the goal, integration. We want to be able to do that with our traumas and with the things that we experience when it comes to being triggered. So ultimately, if you get anything out of today, bottom line is, if you are experiencing what I'm going to refer to as real triggers, not, you know, not feelings that just maybe overwhelm us because they're uncomfortable or difficult and we want to just push them away, but real triggers that thrust us into the portal of time, back into the event that has hurt us or caused us pain, those type of triggers, if we are experiencing those things that have connection to the past and we are now reliving those events, you still have some work to do. That's really the answer. You have some work to do, and nothing is going to change that. You know, again, avoidance isn't going to change that. Blocking is definitely not going to change that. You just have some work to do. And until you can integrate in the way that MC described, there is just no way around it. There's just more processing that needs to be done. That's what you're going to have to do. And, you know, and that's okay. Because we want to heal. We should want to heal. We should want to be able to work through that. And I get that it's painful. I get that not everything that that's happened to us is easy to work through and talk through. Trust me. There's just been, lots and lots of people I've worked with have had to go through and deal with some very painful things in their lives. And it's a challenge. And it's a challenge even for me as a therapist to kind of keep feeling like I'm putting them in that place to work on those things, knowing how painful it is, knowing how difficult it is to think about those things, to quote unquote almost be reliving them in session. That's not an easy thing even for me to do, let alone I get for them is extremely difficult. But when you start to see the improvement, when you start to see them be able to manage the pain and be able to progress through those things, that's where the benefit comes. And you see them experiencing life in a much better way, that's where the benefit comes. So if this is you, if you are experiencing triggers in this way and they are blasting you to the past, you got some work to do. And so just, you know, do yourself a favor, honor yourself, be good to yourself, get the help that you need, work through that stuff so that life can be experienced more healthily and readily. And don't just put up the barricade, lock yourself in, block it out, because that's, it's, you know, like Stephen Hayes said, it's just not a great method of dealing with stuff, avoidance. And there's going to be backlash to that. So, all right, part one, triggers. Part two, coming hopefully next week. It's a busy week with July 4th and stuff. So hopefully within the next week or 10 days, I'll have the second part out in relationship to our ego defenses that kind of protect us from further pain. They've been developed as a result of our trauma, but I think those things are good to be able to identify and understand within ourselves. And if we fit into those categories, how to move through them, if those are the defense mechanisms that we've chosen as a way of protection. So this is the Vegas Therapist signing off. Till next time, have a good one.